Welcome to the Abundant Life Podcast, bringing you encouragement and challenging believers to spiritual change and growth by applying biblical principles to everyday life. And now your hosts, Sasso Mendez and Ben Arellano.
Welcome everybody to the Abundant Life Podcast. This is episode number 20. Yo, Sasso, man, this has been it's been a cool week, bro. Just want to give a quick shout out to my wife, Diane. Love you, baby. We just celebrated our 15th anniversary.
Congratulations.
And it's a funny story about that. So we, I already told you, so you already know this, but you can act surprised. So we're driving around. We went to Lowe's to kind of build up the appetite. We weren't quite, you know, hungry yet. We're going to do dinner. And we had planned to go to Texas Roadhouse. So we're over in the Arrowhead area. And so we went to Lowe's and we walked around and looked at some things. And then we left Lowe's. And as we got to the intersection at 83rd and T-Bird, there's a, happens to be a kind of a, one of our favorite taco shops.
It's good. I like it.
And so Diane glances over and she's like, "Hey, you want to do tacos?" I'm like, "Yeah, of course I want to do tacos. Why would I not want to do tacos?" And so we we celebrated our 15th anniversary on over some Al Pastor. And it was pretty good, man.
But, did you go to 9 or 8, or did you stay like at 3 or 4?
You know, the weird thing, man, is I only ate 6 and I was full. It was weird. But, you know, I got the Jamaica. I got some Cebolla. They grilled the Cebolla and stuff. And so
more filling.
Yeah, it was a little more filling. But, dude, it was good, man. You know what? I think I went 3 and 3. So I went 3 al pastor and 3 steak asada. And it was good, bro.
I always go steak. Maybe I should split it up like that.
Well, you know what? They have this family pack where you could get 10 tacos. They give you, I can't remember how much beans. It's a lot of beans. I think they give you chips and 2 drinks. And it's like for $30. And I told them, we should just get that. We might as well. We're spending around $30 on just tacos. You get the beans and you get everything. But you know what? Even if we would have got it, man, I don't think we would have finished it. The beans and the chip, because we were both full.
10 tacos, though, for how many? How big is your family? Like 1 child, 2 child? That's not a lot of tacos, to be honest.
Well, 6 for me, 4 for her. We were childless, brother.
But that's a family, though.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, your 2 kids. It's like, I don't know what you guys are eating, but me and mom are eating 10 pack.
Well, if Charles is there, he'd be like, we'll need about 4. Yeah.
2 family packs, 1 for each.
Oh, my buddy Chuck could put them down, man. But no, it was a blessing, dude. It was fun. And we did an escape room a couple weeks ago.
Fun. We finished,
and the theme was Alcatraz, and it was kind of weird at first, man, because we were like locked in this cell, and then there was some dude in between us.
Yeah, that was weird.
And so
did he touch your arm or something?
Yeah, I stuck my arm out. It was weird. I'm like, bro, I don't roll that way, bro.
I'm a male.
This ain't that kind of prison, bro.
Not cool.
And but we got out.
We
of the
got
escape
out.
Room
yeah.
With just like a few minutes to go.
Yeah, I'm terrible at those, Ben. I'm there for moral support.
Well, we ended up having to do like how many times did we have to ask for help? And we had to do...
Twice? 3 times?
Maybe something like 3 or 4 times.
I don't know. Teresa was intense.
Oh, yeah.
Bro.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. She was getting down.
Oh, yeah, we got to finish. You know, and I'm just like, do.
Well, we were kind of the same way, but we're like, we got to finish because we got to go get some wings, bro. Yeah,
it's wings. Like, they're closed in like an hour and a half. Let's hurry. Let's get out of here.
Oh, man.
And they shut us down anyway. We had to go to a barbecue, which was good, too. We closed that place down.
I'm kind of glad that Graziano's didn't hook us up.
Wasn't open?
Yeah, because Dylan's, I got the burnt ends. Oh, man, that was good.
I think I got it too, right? I think I got the pick 2 meats. Or Rebecca and I shared 3 meats.
Oh, that's right.
And then
right.
We shared. But basically, I got 2 meats. She got 1 meat.
Yeah, I hadn't had burnt ends in a minute or so. But they were good, dude. Man, Dylan's was pretty good. Pretty legit.
It was legit. I liked it. Very, very nice. So, and I got to see Nate this past weekend. So I had a good Father's Day. And Tom was my dad and my son. So that was cool.
Awesome.
And you got to watch the Suns game 1.
Awesome. Yep.
I don't know if you guys are following the Suns.
And that was a good game too, man. That was a good one to watch. Yeah.
Really good.
Game 1 and 2.
So Nate had no TV, so he was very happy to watch the Suns game. I think he wanted to watch the Suns game more than he wanted to see us, to be honest. Being honest about the whole thing. But always good to spend time with your dad. And just like that message we heard last week, you just never know your last Father's Day. Oh, and Rebecca found that out this year. It was the last Father's Day with her dad. Mm. So she's kind of somber. But yeah, just a great, great Father's Day I had. How was your Father's Day, Ben?
It was good, man. We went and got some Winco fried chicken. Nice. So that was good. So yeah, I had my dad over and you know, Freddie came over.
Did he eat the Winco chicken, your dad?
He did. He liked it.
He liked it?
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, there's only a couple of places that I actually like fried chicken, man. At Winco and I think, what's the other one? Bush's?
Bush's for sure. Bush's and Cane's, good. Of course.
Cane's, yeah, definitely good. But that's just strips.
You know? True, yeah. I like it on the bone. I like to bond with my animal.
You know? Yeah. for the full effect.
Exactly.
But that Winco, man, that, I don't know what seasoning they put on that fried chicken, but it's good, man. It's legit. Pretty,
I like it.
Yeah.
So. And it's cheaper, you know what I mean, than going to Popeye's or something.
The prices were reasonable, really reasonable. I think they were cheaper than Bush's, honestly.
We're getting all these plugs out of these restaurants. We got to get, you know, some sponsorship.
We should get some sponsorship, bro.
I know. We need it. At Christian school you guys played, Paradise Valley Christian School, has a big Cane's banner up in their gym.
What?
You didn't see it?
I did not see this.
Maybe you want a Caniac when you guys play. That's all I could think about was a Caniac when you guys were playing.
Man. And not only that, but you know what? For, you know, we, as much as we go eat there, it's like...
What, Graziano's?
Well, and I'm just thinking we should be able to leave our Abundant Life cards there. You know what I mean?
Maybe when we get those stickers, we tell the, you know, our listeners here that we're getting to, coming out. Tracy, shout out to you, working on a podcast logo.
Thank you, Tracy.
So that should be looking legit, and we get stickers out for people that are interested.
And we have all those business cards, man. We have to give all those out. We get some fresh ones, and we'll get the logo on those.
Yeah, we need to.
So it's gonna look good. We'll get some merch and get some of that up on the site.
Some swag.
Yep.
I was leaving those cards in the bathrooms in the airport. Everyone went to the urinal, put one. Abundant Life. And nobody wants to touch it because they don't know who touched it before them. So it'll probably stay there for a while.
If you just put it and face it with the QR code facing up, maybe that's they'll
exactly
just
scan. What it did. Yeah, I put the QR code out. Yeah, there you go.
Maybe they'll scan it.
Don't touch your phone when you're going to the bathroom, by the way. Leave that in your pocket.
Yeah, keep that thing in your pocket.
Remember.
Oh, man. Cool, man. Well, I guess we'll get into our content here. Before we get into the content, just want to make a couple of quick plugs. One is for, obviously, for the Abundant Life podcast. If you have not subscribed, please do so. You can do that if you listen on Apple. We're also on other platforms like Spotify, Google Play, and we're even on Amazon, I think, now. And so if you can, do subscribe. And the reason we say subscribe is because you will get notified. And we get a lot of people that say, man, when are you guys going to put out another episode? And it's like, dude, we just released one like a few days ago. And they're like, really?
I think you helped someone in our escape room group subscribe.
I did. Actually, he gave me his phone and I subscribed for him. And so it's just, it's not that we're trying to be, prideful. We do have an episode on pride. we just want you guys to know when we do drop one, and that way you guys are able to listen to it when we do. And the other thing is visit our website, abundantlife.fm. We've got our show notes on there. In today's episode, I'm going to have some resources at the very end, so you want to stick around for that. That way you can go to the website and you can click on the resources or whatever we have on there. We have all of our notes on there. You can listen to the podcast on there as well. Sometimes we have some cool little pictures on there and stuff like that. But definitely hit the website. Maybe at some point we'll put a little map of all the taco shops. You know, kind of
our favorite places.
The Yelp for tacos. I don't know. But
it's in the works.
There's a contact form on there. If you guys want to reach out to us, we'd be glad to chat with you, have a Bible study with you, pray for you. And then also want to just quickly plug Sasso's daily blog. So if you're not subscribed to Stay in the Fight, if you go to stayinthefight.online, you can subscribe to the daily blog. Sasso puts out a blog every day. It's a devotional. And so every day, every weekday, he's dropping a new one. And so be sure to check that out. They're super encouraging. They're short reads. I mean, it's like 5 minutes. And and it's good. I mean, he's got a story in there as always, because he's a good storyteller, and it's just it's a blessing to get that in your inbox every day. So be sure to check out stayinthefight.online. So with that said, let's jump in, man.
Awesome.
So today's episode 20 is going to be on the power of love. And so as always, Sasso is going to kick us off with the Webster's 1828. On love.
All right, thank you. I'm going to try to narrow this down. That's fairly long. I mean, Webster's, I even narrowed it down already. it's pretty long on love, but it just talks about, in a general sense, to be pleased with, to regard with affection on account of some qualities which excite pleasing sensations, our desire of gratification. We love a friend on account of some qualities which give us pleasure in his society. We love a man who has done us a favor, in which case gratitude enters the composition of our affection. We love our parents and our children on account of their connection with us and on account of many qualities which please us. We love to retire to cool shade in summer. Amen on that on 111 degree day to day.
No doubt.
We love the shade here. If you're a true Arizonian, you look for those shade spots. We love a warm room in winter, which we really don't know too much about that here. We have mild winters. We love to hear an eloquent advocate. The Christian loves his Bible. In short, we love whatever gives us pleasure and delight, whether animal or intellectual. And if our hearts are right, we love God above all things. Amen. This is 1828. Unbelievable. As a son, sum of all excellence and all the attributes which can communicate happiness to intelligent beings. In other words, the Christian loves God with the love of complacency in his attributes, the love of benevolence towards the interest of his kingdom, and the love of gratitude for favors received. And it says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Thou shalt love thy neighbors as thyself. End quote there for Webster's 1828. And I'm going to go into the verses in Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 to 37. It says, Master, which is the great commandment? They're trying to tempt him here. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And just looking at these two things, man, they try to get him into a pickle. And he broke it down in two things. This is what you love me and you love your neighbor as yourself. And I think one comes before the other, because if we love God, then we'll love our neighbor as yourself.
Yep.
If we don't love God, it's impossible to love your neighbor as yourself. Then I'll just close with this it had in here. The love of God is the first duty of man, and this springs from just views of his attributes, our excellence of character, which affords the highest delight to the sanctified heart. Esteem and reverence constitutes ingredients in this affection, and a fear of offending him in its inseparable effect.
Yeah, that's quite a definition of love. And so what I want to do, there are different types of love mentioned in the Bible. And as we get into 1 Corinthians 13, which is going to be the foundation of what we're going to talk about today, we're going to see the term love. And so love in this chapter, in the Greek, is agape love, okay? And so we tend to use the English word love, and we tend to think of love as this mushy, romantic, you know, type of thing. But agape love, it's not a romantic love. It's not even a brotherly love, so to speak. There's a specific word for that in the Bible as well. And one way to describe agape love is it's goodwill, benevolent. It's a willful delight in the object of love. Agape love, it involves faithfulness, commitment, and an act of the will. And the greatest example of agape love is Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross for a world of lost sinners. It's a selfless, self-sacrificing love for people. And so let's read 1 Corinthians 13, also known as the love chapter. And again, when you hear the word love in these verses, it's referring to agape love. So 1 Corinthians 13 reads this: if I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but I have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all the mysteries and knowledge, and if I have all faith as to remove mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but I have not love, I have gained nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face, now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide. These three, but the greatest of these is love.
Wow. That's powerful. Ben, I remember our pastor saying these in my wedding before we got married. And it means something different to me 21 years later, looking back. You know, your wife's in her wedding dress and the prettiest she's ever looked to you. Mm. And like, of course, all these things. And then you wake up the next day and, you know, you have little spats. I'll probably just say it, leave it like that. And you don't, this, and that's just where love truly kicks in, is because it wishes the best. Matthew Henry states this on these verses: the excellent way had in view in the close of the former chapter is not what is meant by charity in our common use of the word, almsgiving, but love in its fullest meaning, true love to God and man. Without this, the most glorious gift are of no account to us, of no esteem in the sight of God. A clear head and a deep understanding are of no value without a benevolent and charitable heart. There may be an open and lavished hand where there is not a liberal and charitable heart. Doing good to others will do none to us if it not be done from love to God and goodwill to men.
Amen. That's it's an awesome quote. And it's almost like you were saying earlier, Sasso, if our vertical relationship with God is not correct, then our horizontal relationship with man is not going to be there. And referring to love, obviously, if you don't love God, you can't love your neighbor. And so what I want to do quickly is just, I want to talk about what is the source of love. We're talking about all this love, you know, this agape, but where does it come from? Where is this source? So according to the Bible, if we read in the book of 1 John, the source of love is God. In fact, John states that God is the definition of love. So we read 1 John 4, 7 through 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whosoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love.
Amen.
And then it kind of begs the question. So you know, we read through 1 Corinthians. We just read this from 1 John. You know, so is love optional? I mean, if we love God, I mean, is it optional? No, love is not optional. In fact, Jesus commands it. I'm going to read some verses here. John 15, 12 says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Okay, so he literally said, "This is my commandment." And then in John 13, 34, we read, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another." We read in Romans 13, 8, it says, "Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law." And then Matthew 22, 39 and 40 says, and this is part of the verses we read a little bit earlier. It says, "And the second is like unto it," referring to the commandment, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." And so if we look at just a couple of examples of love in scripture, I'm going to go to 1 John 4, 9 through 10. It says, In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us. And he sent his son to be the propitiation for our sin.
Amen.
And so God is not only the source of love, I mean, but he loved us first. There was no way that we could love God. He loved us first. And because of this love, he did what he did. And therefore, we are able to love him back. And then if we go over to John 3:16, it's a very common verse. Most people can quote this, but let's go ahead and read it. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life."
I mean, I think this is a good segue. We built it up. We talked about friends. We talked about forgiveness. And now we talk about love. I think the marks of, we're getting to the, what are the marks of love? And part of that is forgiveness, because if you love someone, you forgive them. Yeah. And when you don't love someone, you don't want to forgive them, because there's no love there. So what are the marks of love? Galatians 5:13, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." Mm. Kate came back from camp, and she was there for 2 weeks, like a little mini leadership camp, and Nate's there for the whole summer. And they called them the 10:45ers. And so I asked her, like, what in the world does a 10:45er mean? Like, is that what time you show up, or what?
It's what time they wake up.
What time you wake up? Like, well, that's a pretty good deal. You get to sleep in the 75 degree pines over there, and you get to wake up at 10:45. She said, "No, it's a Bible verse." I go, "Well, from where?" And so after much arguing, and Mark 10:45, and it says, "Even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." And this verse comes together. He came to minister, which in a sense is you're serving, right? You're serving someone else. But by love, we serve one another. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a beautiful picture of love is service. Sometimes you do service out of duty, and the right times you do it out of love.
Right.
The liberty speaks to the liberty we have from the law, and we should not use this liberty to attack one another, but we should use it by love to serve one another. We have that liberty to attack people, other Christians, but we do not have it. But we should use it to love, to serve another, to desire to serve the brothers, sisters, even those that are lost, that we would see, that we would use that for an occasion to serve one another. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not, which is charity's love here. Right. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. And this is going back to my wedding, and they said this. I'm like, yeah, it's going to be easy. We'll suffer long. Yep, it's kind. Yeah, got it. It's not going to envy. Yep, got it. It's not going to vaunt itself. It is not puffed up, no pride, you know, does behave itself correctly. I'm not going to seek my own, and like didn't take but three or four, the honeymoon, and I didn't suffer long. I wasn't kind. I was puffed up. I sought my own way. I was easily provoked. I got hangry. I thought evil. I rejoiced in things, not in the truth. I didn't bear all things. I didn't believe all things. I didn't hope in all things, and definitely did not endure in all things. And this is, when you do these things, that's the marks of love. It's the marks of a changed heart. It's the marks of God working in you to love as you should love. This love is seen and is characteristic of a born-again believer, in my opinion. Born-again believers show these marks, because to truly love is to know love. And you can't know love if you haven't accepted that gift of Jesus Christ, a true gift of love towards us. Yeah. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And part of that becoming new is a love that you never had before, a love that you never understood. We all understood. And just like I dated Rebecca in high school, and I thought I loved her, and I had really had no idea what that meant. I thought it was like, she's pretty. She wants to go off me. She's nice to me. I'm in love. And now after, you know, 3 kids, 21 years, it looks a lot different of what love truly is.
Well, and I think that's kind of the whole thing I was talking about earlier is, you know, we tend to think of love as this mushy romantic type thing. Ooh, I love you. And it's like, man, love is, it's so much more than that. It's so much, it can be that, not saying it's not.
Yeah.
But it's definitely love. You know, we always hear the term love is an action, and it really is. It's the long suffering. It's the patience, the forbearance, being kind. And, you know, like you said, you get hangry, or you get prideful, you get puffed up, or you get whatever. And, I'm guilty as well. And so it's difficult. It's not, love is not easy.
Absolutely.
It's not easy. And so it's like, it goes back to the definition of the agape. It's a willful act, and you have to work at it. It's work.
Yeah, Ben, I remember my my grandma coming up from the hospital, and my dad, you know, not to be gross, but she had an accident, and she was older, and it smiled, you know. And I said something, and my dad about killed me. He got really upset, and I remember him picking her up in that state and carrying her inside the house. And my mom caring for her for several years in my house. And that's when I think of love and service and caring about someone that could do nothing in return for you.
Right.
But just a love for someone else. And that's the kind of love that I see God wanting us to play out in our own lives. Just as you said, it's an action. 1 John 4:21, and this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loves his brother also. Mm. So if you love God, you'll love your brother. We all have those red button people that's in one of the episodes that they're hard to love. But if we're of God, then we'll love even those brothers, because we're a red button for someone as well. Matthew 19:19, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And your neighbor is basically your fellow man. It's not somebody that you live next to, which is your neighbor as well, but it extends beyond just follow mankind. And yeah. I've had some bad neighbors. Actually one bad neighbor that was, I didn't always love here, Ben. He was very difficult to love. The SWAT team was at my house 3 times, did drive by on his house.
Wow.
I wasn't alone in not loving my neighbor. If you do drive by on someone, you don't love them as well. I would imagine so. Like, hey, I like that guy. And then you shoot up his house. Not the sign of love is a drive-by. No, no. I'm going to show you I love you by doing a drive-by on your house. But anyway, and love is also long-suffering. 2 Corinthians 6:6, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love, unfeigned, sincere, genuine. Ben, does this mean that suffering long with those on my red button list as well? I mean...
Oh, yeah. Trust me. Yeah.
Is that what it means? Okay.
It does, brother. It does, brother.
Is that the King James? I don't know if it was a different translation that made it easier for me to obey. Okay. That's what it means. Suffering long is a tough one, but our Savior suffers long for us. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
And if you're married, Ben, you know what this looks like, and your spouse suffers long and you suffer long with your spouse. That Rebecca's put up with a lot of nonsense in my lifetime and continues to put up with. A lot of nonsense. Sometimes she's long-suffering, and sometimes she's short-suffering. But for the most part, she's long-suffering with me. And what is another way that it comes out? It comes out in kindness. Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. This is not of my thoughts. I'm not always the kindest person in the world. Sometimes Rebecca will squeeze my leg under the table when I'm saying something to somebody or about somebody. I think she did it to me at Freedom That Lasts on Friday when we were talking. She squeezed my leg just to say, hey, don't say that. Because I'm quick to pull out my my verbal six-shooter instead of holstering my blistering tongue. That's you get the Rebecca squeeze or the look. Like, don't say that, Sasso. And I think of my parents being kind to me throughout my childhood. Not every day, because every day just, you know, they're human beings, but just being very kind, very generous. Even, you know, I got a graduation gift that was very kind, very nice. And there's a man in the Gideons. He came up to me 2 weeks ago, and he just said, hey, I just want to say congratulations on being elected, you know, to the office you were elected. And I think you do a great job, and I'm really happy for you. I'll be praying for you. And I'm like, wow, that's kindness. That's God would be pleased with that kindness. Yeah. Let's talk about envy. Galatians 5:26, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. I go back to the Webster's, and it says, envy is pain, uneasiness, mortification, or discontent, excited by the sight of another, superiority or success, accompanied with some degree of hatred or malignity, and often to usually with a desire or an effort to depreciate the person, and with pleasure in seeing him depressed. Envy springs from pride, ambition, or love, mortified that another has obtained what one has a strong desire to possess. I mean, this doesn't take very long. If you go in the church parking lot, someone has a new car, and boom, well, I bet you they can't afford it. Or I've heard all kinds of things.
They don't tithe.
Yeah, I bet you they don't tithe. They've been saving the tithe for a year. You know, it's immediate envy. It's not the best. Or, oh, look at that suit. He thinks he's sharp-dressed. Or, and it happens on so many levels where we look down on somebody. And I've been guilty of that myself. And I don't know if you got that when you got your new Jeep. That was pretty cool looking. But just people, we tend to be haters. Like, we want something. And I think that's why it says, springs from pride, ambition, or love, mortified that another has obtained what one has a strong desire to possess. And even Pastor alluded to it this morning when he talked about someone, you know, wants to meet with him on a Monday morning, and his mind races to all these things that it could be, and typically it's not even that. Or we don't get invited to a party, or we're not included. Like, somebody watched the game at somebody's house, and they didn't invite you, and, well, I thought we were better friends, or why didn't he invite me? I'm closer to him than... And it could be a ministry opportunity that you're just trying to be friendly to someone that you don't have a relationship with.
Right.
And you would think your friend would understand.
Yeah.
But he doesn't. He's envious. This creeps up in all of us. I'm guilty of this myself.
Same here.
Romans 12:16, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. And real love is one of service and humility. It's not looking for its own. It's not looking for... to build itself up, to puff itself up, but it's looking to serve someone else in a humble state, not for like, hey, you know, if I do these things, maybe Ben will invite me to the Suns game. It's doing them because you have that love. There's humility in there. Forbearance, this is crazy. The exercise of patience, long-suffering, indulgence towards those who injure us. Wow. Delay of resentment or punishment. And the Bible says in Ephesians 4:2, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. He used to say, man, I'm praying for patience. And it's like, man, should I really pray for that? Because you're going to get the test.
I take it back.
You're going to get the test.
The sanctification faith test.
Yeah, patience is definitely not one of my strong points. But, you know, you look at that list, and it's what a list. You know, you have long-suffering, kindness, envy, or not being envious, and humility, forbearance. And those are characteristics of love. And, I mean, that's all encompassed in that word love. And so it's quite a list, you know, but it's command. It's a command from the Lord. What I want to do really quick here, I've got a little plug I want to do here for five love languages, since we're on the topic of love. And if you've not heard, or I'm not sure if you're familiar with the book, it's called Five Love Languages by Gary Chapman. And I think I've mentioned this before on the podcast. Anyway, this guy, Gary Chapman, the author of the book, he does a marriage conference. He did one here recently, maybe 2 years ago, here in the Phoenix area. My wife and I attended with some friends, and you know, and it's not that we're having marital issues or anything, but man, if you have a chance to go to one of Gary Chapman's conferences, I highly recommend. He's an awesome speaker. He's funny, but man, the stuff he's got, it's the nuggets you'll get from it. I mean, he's got some bombs that he's going to drop on you.
But can you get better in your relationship? That's what I'm saying. Like, there's no pride in that, right? Anybody can get better.
Yeah. I mean, and it's cool because it goes along with the Five Love Languages book. And if you've not read the book, I highly recommend it. Read it. The five love languages are acts of service, quality time, touch, gifts, and words of affirmation. For me, I'm quality time. Sasso, I know, is gifts. and so, you know, and it's cool when you know someone else's love language, because everyone, you know, speaks a different love language. And, you know, sometimes we tend to think that everyone has the same love language, but it's not true. Like, you know, if I thought everybody was quality time, I'm going to be sorely disappointed because not everyone wants to spend time with me.
Leave me alone.
I know, right? but if I speak to Sasso in my love language, he's not going to interpret it correctly. So that's kind of the idea here. But if I speak to Sasso in his language, which is gifts, it'll be more meaningful and well-received. You know, so Gary Chapman has, he's got love language resources for couples. He's got it for singles, men, military, children, teens. I mean, so you can go to his website, fivelovelanguages.com. You can take a quiz. Sasso, I know you've done the quiz, right? You and Rebecca both. My wife
all
and
my
I.
All my kids except Nate. I don't know how he got by, but I don't have his on my phone.
Oh, he didn't take it.
Snuck by. I told him and he laid under the cover.
So, and that's a good one to, you know, like Sasso said, you know, do your kids, if you're a parent, have your kids take the test, and that way you can understand them too. Because, you know, like for my kids, I know what their love language is, and you know, that way I can speak to them in their love language. And it, like I said, it's just a way to be more meaningful with your kids or with your spouse or with your friends, depending on the relationship.
And Ben, I think for me, I think a lot of them were the same. So I had, you know, and I looked at it from Rebecca's perspective. It was physical touch, but that's from her perspective. But from others, I mean, you know, it's gifts. But yeah, I hit up on all of them. And, you know, just it's important to speak to someone as they understand. And I think many times we get to, like, well, like Americans, right? If we do it this way, you're stupid if you don't do it this way.
Yep.
Instead of being sensitive. And I like a lot of those things, forbearance and humility, saying, what is, you know, how can I show you love? Because we all see love differently in a lot of different ways, which you're talking about.
Yeah, and it's a great way to learn. It's weird. I had this job. This is many years ago, but they had taken us to some kind of some training, and they did this profile. It's called DISC, I guess. There's different words. There's different types of profiles now, I guess. I don't know, but DISC was at that time, and they just taught you what kind of person you are. You know, if you're an A type, or you know, that kind of thing. And I learned, like, you know, what kind of person I am. And then I learned also it teaches you how to communicate with other people that are different types. Because if you're trying to communicate with people that you think are all like you, which we tend to think that everybody's like us, you're going to be disappointed because you're not going to have good communication. But it was just really eye opening. But then so when I read this five love languages, man, I was like, oh, wow, this is on a whole different playing level than just communication in general. So I highly recommend it.
Great book.
Check it out. And if you can go to a Gary Chapman conference, do it. He's awesome. So we're going to cover this now, Sasso, which is funny because you've already mentioned it, but why is it difficult to love? You know, and so I wanted to just briefly touch on this really quick. You know, and there's many reasons why we choose not to love. You know, perhaps you've been hurt. Perhaps you're dealing with someone who's difficult to love. Maybe you simply don't know how to love. Maybe, you know, you weren't loved as a child and just don't know what that even looks like. And I know for me, I struggle to love those that get under my skin, that irritate me and annoy me. So these are the red button people this also talks about. You know, however, as we've already mentioned, love is not optional for a Christian. And in listening to a sermon by Dr. Tillotson, you know, he spoke about the unlovely and how they're kind of like sandpaper, which, you know, it's easy to agree with. But then he said something about sandpaper that is, it's used to refine you. And then it sort of clicked. And it's like the sandpaper is getting all the splinters and rough edges out, making you more smooth, you know, AKA the, you know, control, patience, forbearance, and all of that stuff.
Sign it down.
The stuff that I don't have. Yeah. So remember, love is not optional. It's a command. And I know, you know, Sasso keeps mentioning red button people. For those of you that don't know what red button people are, it's the people that call you on your cell phone and you see it. And it's those people that annoy you. And you're like, dude, I want to hit that red button.
Immediately. Boom. Voicemail.
But if we are to love, we need to love the unlovable. And the reality is that Jesus did just that. In fact, the evidence of that is Jesus loves me, because I'm sure I'm unlovable to some people. But Jesus, he chose to love even me.
Amen, Ben. Amen. And I'm guilty. You know, my red button people, and try to work on that. God's worked on me a little bit. There's still one that is hanging on like a hanging chad that I need to get victory over. The truth about biblical love: God's love never fails and is not dependent on us, but is dependent on him. And I think I've spoken about this before, but my mind was blown when I realized that God's love for me was not, he didn't love me more when I did well, and he didn't love me less when I sinned. He loves me perfectly because he's God.
That's right.
And our human aspect, we tend to want to do great things for our kids when they do good things. When they do bad things, we want to put the thumb on them, which I'm not saying that's, you know, there's appropriate punishment, but we look in love in terms of what we do and how we act, and that maybe it's our guilty conscience that makes us think that God loves us less, but he really doesn't, because he loves us perfectly. And that's why I'm grateful. His love is not dependent on me. It's dependent on his perfect Amen. Love for us.
Amen.
All may fail, but God's love will never fail. Romans 8:38-39 says, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." There's no separation from the love of God. Nothing in this world could separate us from
Amen.
How he feels about us, how his love is towards us. Faith, hope, and charity are great, but 2 Peter says, but the greatest of these is love. And this is what Ben talked about earlier. And besides just giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. These are the freedom last verses here. These are the columns that we build upon. And besides just giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity, which is love.
Amen.
And we say this every week in FTL, and this is the pillars that we build upon. If you look in your Freedom That Last book, these are the columns that were set up in there. And the greatest of these is love. Love is the foundation and the top pillar listed in the first book. If love is the foundation or the missions of our life, it will determine what we do and the why as to why we do it. Many times, man, we'll do things that don't seem like, why would you do that for somebody? Why in the world would you, you know, you have widows that you tend to, that you do work for, and why would you do that? It's because of love. If love is the foundation, it determines what we do and why we do it. It could be 111 and you're helping a brother move. I know you helped somebody move this past weekend. You know your true friends are if they help you move in June and July. Like, wow. And that's love, right? Love will provide service Amen. In times of uncomfortableness,
Amen.
In times when you just don't want to do it, but you love them and you go on the extra mile. And the Bible even talks about that. If a brother tells you to go 1 mile with them, go with them two. And that's love. It's just, it's not a matter of comfortable. It's not a matter of, sometimes it's not what you want to do, but love compels us to do these things. 1 John 4:7-12, beloved, let us love one another. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us.
Amen.
And here's the ultimate test for our Christian faith, Christian. Here's a test for you. Love for one another. How do you feel? Do you feel love one for another? And it's been said, hey, the ministry would be great if it weren't for people. And that's the thing, that you do not have love for one another. And I've heard people say, I'll go to church, but I don't want to talk to anybody. That's not love for one another.
And that's not definition of the church either.
That's not definition of the church either. That's not the way it works. Nope. God put us there for each other.
Amen.
Love shows if you are born of God. Another ultimate test is God loves. Love is manifested in us, as we reiterated in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Another test is God's love should propel us to love one another. And if we love one another, we know that God dwelleth in us and is made perfect in how we love one another. In closing here, Ben, I'm gonna say, do you love the brethren? How about the red button folks? If they were to be a trial to convict you of love, would you be found guilty?
Yeah, and that's kind of what I was just gonna say. You know, I guess that's kind of one of the real tests. If you can hit the green button when the red button folk call you, you pass the test, brother.
That's hard, man. That's hard. I'll call them back. And that's true, though, right? Because I should love them just as God loves me.
Yeah.
And then the final thing that I have here is God's love led him to the cross. What will his love propel you to do for him?
That's good. You know, and just my closing thought, just kind of what you were saying. I love the fact that God's love for me is not dependent on my good works or my actions or my behavior. His love is perfect. I don't have to earn it. I don't have to earn it. And the thing about that is that I want to say to you out there, if you're a Christian, that's great. And if you're not, that goes for you too. If you're not a Christian, if you're not a believer, God loves you wherever you are right now, whatever you think you've done the craziest thing, and God loves you with perfect love.
Amen.
But you need to put your faith in him. Then that's how you become a Christian. That's how you become saved. You put your faith in what he did on that cross. That act of love that he did for you is where you need to put your faith. And so that's my encouragement for you. God loves you.
Amen.
No matter what. And so just really quick, I want to mention that you can reach out to us. I know I already mentioned this, but you can reach out to us on abundantlife.fm. There's a contact form at the upper right-hand corner. Sasso and I would love to do a Bible study with you. If you're in the Phoenix area, we'll meet you wherever you're at.
Free tacos.
Oh, over tacos.
My treat.
Yo, first round's on Sasso, man.
Second round, you're on your own.
Take him up on that. if you want prayer, there's a contact form on abundantlife.fm. Reach out. We'd love to pray for you. Just real quick, I wanted to mention Freedom That Lasts. Sasso mentioned this a little while ago. This happens every Friday night, and this is a ministry that Sasso's been doing for many years now, and it's a great ministry, whether you deal with addictions or not. If you have sin in your life, that just means you ought to go.
Which is all of us, right?
Amen, brother. And so just want to really quickly mention, there was a young lady that showed up recently. And she showed up on her birthday. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because of the topic we're talking about, love. And she showed up on her birthday. She hadn't been to our church, I think, in about, 2 years, I think. And she showed up, and she was late. And she showed up, and she asked Sasso, hey, where's Rebecca? Sasso, you know, pointed her, hey, Rebecca's in this room. And she walked in and told Rebecca, hey, I'm here. It's my birthday. And this is the only place that I knew I would be loved. And so, and that's why I mentioned that Freedom to Last. It's a great ministry. We do prayer. We get a lesson. You build relationships, and hey, man, we have a meal together, and that's awesome.
Fried chicken sometimes.
And again, you know, check out Sasso's blog, stayinthefight.online. He's got his daily devotional. And then lastly, the five love languages. Be sure and take that quiz. Check it out if you haven't done it yet. Find out what your love language is. Definitely find out what your spouse's love language is. If you have kids, they have quizzes for kids. But I definitely recommend doing that. Read the book, and it's just 5lovelanguages.com. I think it's the number 5 and then lovelanguages.com.
Will it be on the podcast?
Yes, all notes, of this, all of these resources will be on abundantlife.fm. Awesome. They'll be on the show notes. So definitely check them out. So want to just thank you guys for listening. Yes, thank you. Be sure to share this out on social media. If you have social media, we're on Twitter, we're on Insta. And if you would just share this podcast episode out, we'd love it if you did that. Thanks, guys, for listening.
Love you guys. Thank you.
Love you. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Abundant Life Podcast. We pray you were blessed by today's episode. Please visit us online at abundantlife.fm. Until next time, may God bless you.